the fourth chapter of Mark's gospel. I do want to mention before we get into the word this morning that this past Thursday night we had a monthly citywide prayer service. This happens every month at different churches around our city. And this past week, we here at Abundant Life had the pleasure of hosting the citywide prayer gathering. Thank you, Jolly and Margaret, for all you do. It's the vision you have for our city, and you're running with it, and you're running clearly. We can follow you in the vision. And I'll just say there were, I believe, 11 or 12 churches represented here, prayer warriors from different local churches. There were different denominations. There were Presbyterian, probably a Catholic or two, probably a Methodist. I know some Baptist and a lot of interdenominational people, but it was such a great service that everybody was a little Pentecostal before we left. It was just wonderful. I mean, you really enjoyed it. I can tell you had too much fun, if possible. But I've enjoyed the afterglow from that citywide prayer event still to this moment. Well, today I want to speak about growing up and becoming greater, for such is the kingdom of God. Jesus spent a lot of his public ministry telling stories. They were so simple. We call them parables. And most of the stories Jesus would tell his followers began with these words. The kingdom of God is like. Now, this was a new concept. Nobody throughout the Old Testament, nobody right on up to the day Jesus began his ministry, ever had any concept of a spiritual kingdom that would be established by God until Jesus began breaking new ground and telling simple stories that his followers could understand. And they would begin with, "Let me tell you what the kingdom of God is like." And today I want to speak to you about two of those parables. They are the parable of the growing seed and then the parable of the mustard seed. They're clumped together beginning at Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow." The seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, and after that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And then Jesus, in the same breath, gave another parable. And he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it?" What story can we picture the kingdom of God? Now, you've heard it said that one picture is worth a thousand words. But when Jesus told the story, one word was worth a thousand pictures. And Jesus said in verse 31, "The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And then Jesus makes, or the word makes a statement about Jesus' use of parables that should speak to every one of us every day of our life. In verse 33, it says, "And with many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it." Whether or not you hear and receive the word is determined by your own ability to hear it. That's the principle of Jesus' method of telling stories about the kingdom of God. Now, these two parables describe the kingdom that we're in. And Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within us. Did you realize there is a spiritual force bottled up inside the tabernacle, the temple, the temporary tent, the transporter, our physical body, the one who carries the real us from one place to another? Don't minimize your physical body. It's very important during your earth life. It's not the real you. It just carries the real you from place to place. And Jesus had such a powerful way of telling stories that drew beautiful pictures and described what the kingdom of God was like, that when he would finish teaching, the people who heard what he said would say things like, "What manner of a man is this that he can teach with such authority?" And in these two parables, Jesus accomplishes his purpose describing what the kingdom of God that's inside of us is like. And he uses analogies that everybody in his crowd could understand. Farming people, agricultural people, everybody in that day, and most of us in our day today understand when you plant a seed in the ground that it grows up. Now, Jesus said the farmer sows. He will scatter seed. He will sow seed in the ground, and then the farmer sleeps by night and rises by day. Jesus is teaching how faith works in these parables. The sower sows the seed and then waits for results. You don't sow a seed and get the harvest fruit from that seed 30 minutes later. The sower sows the seed and then he waits for results. And then a mystery happens. Jesus said the farmer does not know how this process works, but he just waits for the seed to grow up. The farmer does not know how. Jesus is teaching us how faith works, and faith always requires not knowing how. Now, it's during the waiting time, after you've planted a seed, even a seed in faith, you've got your seed in the ground, you've done your part, we just wait. We wait on the result. We go to bed like the farmer every night, and we get up every morning like the farmer, and we do it again, and go to bed and get up again, and we repeat that cycle until eventually a result will take place from the seed that was sown. Now, during the waiting period, it's easy to get discouraged. Amen. Some of the most discouraging statements you can make begin with the words, I would have thought by now. I would have thought by now that seed I planted would have produced a fruitful harvest by now. I would have thought by now the sickness in my body would be a former thing and I would be healthy again. I would have thought by now my children would be delivered from the trouble that they're in. I would have thought by now that my financial struggles would be over. And by now, I would have more than enough. I would have thought by now my marriage would be heaven on earth and not the mess at the house that it is. I would have thought by now that the relationship that had been broken would be mended already. I would have thought by now. And the seed that the farmer sows and scatters on the ground is likened unto the word of God we hear. Right now, I am scattering seed. I am teaching the word of God. Receive it like the ground receives a seed and becomes one with it, and then wait for the results to come in. While you're waiting, this has to be your mantra. This has to be your confession. I believe God is working, even when I can't see what He's doing. I've got the seed in the ground. I've scattered a lot of seed. I have spoken the word of the Lord. I've heard about this situation. My seed is in good soil, and I don't see any results from that seed yet, but I believe God is working even when I can't see what He's doing. Now, during the process of the kingdom maturing and becoming fully developed inside each of us, different things happen over time. Paul said, I planted the seed. And then another man came along, Apollos, and he watered that seed. But Paul said, even though I planted and another man watered, it is God who will give the increase. Now, God is all about increase, and as we are growing up and becoming greater, for such is the kingdom of God, increase is an important word. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. The disciples who loved His teaching came to Him more than once and said, Master, increase our faith. The book of Acts says the word of God increased. Now, there is a test that takes place for all of us between the time we hear the word, receive the word, like a seed sown, and the time that the harvest brings the fruit from that seed. And we should never despise small beginnings. Don't be discouraged by small beginnings and slow growth. The mustard seed is a tiny beginning. And when you hold a mustard seed in your hand and drop it on the ground, that tiny beginning seems inconsequential. What can possibly ever come from such a tiny beginning? But if we understand these two parables about how the seed, the word of God, the Greek word is the sperma of God, when we receive it and get pregnant with the word of God, it may be a small thing, but if we understand these two parables He's telling us today we can survive the days when we think nothing is happening. Like that farmer, he goes to bed, gets up, goes to bed, gets up, goes to bed, gets up. It's a mystery to him. Jesus said he does not understand how that small thing, that tiny beginning, will eventually one day after time produce a harvest. We will be able to survive the hard days when it's easy to look at the natural circumstance and say, there's nothing happening with that seed. I remember scattering a seed and I don't see any growth yet. Don't be discouraged by the smallness of the beginning and the slowness of the growth. It will surely grow up and become greater because such is the kingdom of God. Now, humble beginnings. Humble beginnings. God can do great things with smallness at the outset. And the ultimate story of humble beginnings is the Son of God being born in a barn, a stable that housed animals, and being wrapped in old strips of cloth and laid in a feeding trough where animal food was placed for the goats and the donkeys and the horses and the cows to eat from that trough. Talk about an humble beginning that can grow up and impact the world. That is the ultimate story of humble beginnings. Now, I have never been pregnant. And I'm grateful. When a woman conceives and becomes pregnant, it takes some time before she starts showing. A woman does not conceive and give birth to that child the next day. She goes to bed and she gets up and she goes to bed. And she does not even give birth to the seed that week. Or the week after that, or the week after that, or the month 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 after that. But the moment the seed is received, she's as pregnant as she will ever be. She's not just 50% pregnant during the waiting period. She's not just 99% pregnant. She's 100% pregnant the very moment the sperma of God is received into the womb. Now, some of you know what that's like. You've received the Word of God. It is His promise. It describes your destiny. And you would have thought by now you'd be further along on your journey toward your destiny because the seed, you know, was planted firmly in good soil, but you can't see any growth. You've gone to bed every night and gotten up every morning and looked around and still no growth. You're like that pregnant woman. She's as pregnant as she will ever be, but not showing yet. Don't be discouraged if you're not showing yet. You may not be showing, but you're already glowing. The glow comes many times before the show comes. Now, my wife had a dream a few nights ago that one of you ladies in our church was pregnant. I'm not going to say who it was. So I'm not sure if that's prophetic. Surely one of you is going to get pregnant. Surely. I mean, it will come to pass. We don't know when. We may go to bed and wake up a few times before. But when a woman becomes pregnant, even before she shows, she glows. So we should be glowing whether we're showing yet or not. I remember some women who were with child and were not showing yet. And this has happened so many times over 36 years as a pastor in this church. We have two nurseries for all the babies that have been born during these years. Many is the time a lady would come up to me, sometimes a lady and the husband would come up to me together and say, I haven't told anybody yet, but I'm pregnant. And my response is, you're glowing already. Now, don't minimize the season of smallness. God can do great things with something that is right now still a small thing. I remember in the Old Testament, there had been a drought and no rain. No crops were growing. People were dying. It was famine and drought. It couldn't get any worse. This had gone on for quite some time. And the prophet of God prayed and asked God to open the heavens and send the rain. There's something miraculous that takes place when any of us prays, but especially when a prophet of the Old Testament would pray, they would get results. So finally, he told his servant, said, I believe rain's coming. Get on your horse, ride out a ways, and look at the sky, and come back and tell me if you see any clouds at all. Servant went, came back, don't see a thing. Go again. Came back, still smallness, don't see anything at all. I know the word you spoke. I know you believe the word you spoke, but nothing yet. Nothing yet. Does that sum up this chapter of your life? You've been believing and holding on, but this chapter of your life could be titled Nothing Yet. Go again the third time, the prophet instructed his servant, and he did, came back. I think it was seven times the prophet went and finally came back and said, or the servant went, came back and told the prophet, said, well, don't get too excited. I don't see any rain on the horizon, but I did see a little something. Well, what did you see? I saw a cloud. Oh, you saw a cloud! Well, but wait, it was no bigger than my hand. The whole sky blew out there, and only one little cloud, such a small thing, it was no bigger than my hand against that huge, endless sky. Just a small hand. That was all it took for the prophet to say, we better batten down the hatch, get the umbrellas out, get the animals in, because a deluge is on the way. Don't minimize the day of small things. There are usually seasons of insignificance in our lives just before God does something new and powerful and takes us to another level. As sure as the seed has been sown, the word has been received, the promise from God for your life has been believed, then it's worth waiting for. It may be insignificant, so small at the beginning, but we grow up and become greater. As we grow up, the kingdom within us becomes greater. Jesus told so many parables to drive that point home. Now, when you plant a seed, the plant does not suddenly spring up out of the ground fully grown. They grow in stages. And telling this parable, Jesus said, first, the blade. Now, this is after many nights and days, sometimes weeks or months, depending on what you're growing. You don't even see a green blade for a long time. Easy to get discouraged. But eventually, that seed will produce and it will grow in stages. Jesus said the first stage is the blade. First, the blade. And then you'll see some corn in the next stage as growth and development continues. And after that, finally, you'll see the full corn in the ear, and it's ready to harvest now. But look at the process. Oh, we don't like process. We like microwave. We like drive-through or curbside. Pick up now. We like instant this and that and the other. We're not good waiters. But it takes time for God to take that small thing that's been planted. This is how the kingdom works. That small thing that's been planted inside of us, that's a kingdom dynamic. There's an eternal factor to it. It becomes greater as we grow up, or it should be. Have you ever thought about your faith as being a growing thing? Sadly, many people have enough faith to believe Jesus is the Son of God. They surrender to Him, give Him their life, and the only relief they really get, at least immediately as well, at least I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven after life is over here. And they don't give attention to how the kingdom of God becomes greater. The kingdom that's inside of us grows up and becomes greater. Jesus said, for such is the kingdom of God. And here's what really happens with the mustard seed. And Jesus mentions this later on down in verse 31, I believe. Said, the smallest of all becomes the greatest of all. That small thing, the mustard, the tiniest of all seeds, the most insignificant start to anything, the smallest of all, when maturity is finished and it has grown up, it becomes the greatest of all trees, so great that every branch can support wildlife of some kind. It becomes a home and a feeding ground to species of animals, and it began with the smallest imaginable thing. That's the way kingdom life is. And spiritual life is all about growth and maturity. Now, I have three grandchildren in Austin, Texas. You know them, Hollister and Gideon and Eden. Their other grandfather, who lives there in Austin with them, is quoted as having said this: change is inevitable, growth is optional. Oh, we're going to change. Look at our bodies. As we grow older chronologically, our bodies change. Oh, you will not be able to escape change, but whether or not you grow, that's up to you in large part. Change is inevitable. We cannot escape change. But growth and maturity is optional. Each of us must own and take responsibility for our own spiritual maturity. It's not all the pastor or the evangelist or an apostle or a prophet or a teacher. Every single one of us must take responsibility for our development. I don't even need to tell you how to do that. You're here this morning. You know about spending time with God. You know about spending time in His presence and spending time in His Word and not just speed reading through it, but digging for gold and finding a nugget that will change your life, even though it's a small thing when you receive it. There's that faith in you that works, that says, oh, it may be small just yet, but the day will come. It's going to be huge. It's going to be like that tiny little mustard seed. It was the smallest of everything when we started, but now it's the greatest of all. That's the way the kingdom is grown. Now, we're told to grow. Grow. I could call names. I'm related to some. Not immediately. This is a previous generation that never really demonstrated much spiritual growth. It's easy to become religious over the years and even do a lot of the right things outwardly. But so far as taking personal responsibility, each one has to do that for our own self, to develop our spirit until it becomes fully grown, grow. But the Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow, grow. Well, he didn't hide it from us. It's in the book. If you're in the kingdom, the word to you and to me is grow. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I remember one of the great preachers in my lifetime and in yours, Pastor Claude Hurley, standing right here in this spot. And his sermon that Sunday morning, many years ago, he's in heaven now, but many years ago, he preached right here about the two people who went into the temple to pray. And one was a religious man, and one was a sinner. And the religious man said, I'm in prayer. I think the Bible said he prayed to himself. He liked to hear his own self talk. But in his prayer in the temple, it was bragging on me. Oh, Lord, I've done this. Oh, Lord, I'm better than that. I'm so glad I'm not like that sinner right there. And then the sinner, all he did was beat his chest and say, I am nothing but a sinner. And Jesus saw those two men and said, the sinner's the one who went home justified. Claude Hurley was preaching that, and here's how he opened that sermon after he read the scripture. He was talking about the Pharisee that prayed the religious prayer. And he said, this man had grown in the law, but had not grown in grace. The Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Another verse that admonishes us to grow up so that the kingdom that's within us can become greater. The Apostle Peter wrote it and says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. Now, when you're new in Christ, you can't handle an outlaw ribeye that you can buy at Longhorn Steakhouse, medium well, thanks. Can't handle it, kill you. When you're a new babe in Christ and the things of the kingdom are fresh and new in your life, you grow at that level by milk, the milk of the word, the milk of the word. And we still have milk, even though I like my outlaw ribeye. Frequently, I still keep a gallon of fresh milk in the fridge because I'm growing that way too. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But, he goes on to say, strong meat. Now you have my attention. Isn't it getting close to lunch? Strong meat belongs to those who are fully mature. That's the goal for all of us. Not to get born again, get our ticket to heaven. We've escaped hell and now we sit and we don't pay any attention to the kingdom of God that's within us becoming greater, like that small mustard seed becoming a giant tree before it's over. And there's a lot more going on here than us just getting older. Let's hope. Let's hope a lot more is going on here. As we are getting older, The kingdom of God that is within us should be becoming greater. The force of God housed in each of us should become greater and stronger so that we can have a greater impact on the world that we live in. Now, are we just sitting around getting older? Or are we growing up? And is the kingdom becoming greater? Jesus said, this is how the kingdom works. If you're interested in how the kingdom of God works, first of all, it's inside of you. Now, you are a citizen of the kingdom of God at the new birth, but the principle is this, the kingdom of God is within you. And as we get older with age, the kingdom of God should become greater inside of us. Paul looked at his body and realized he was getting older. And he said, my outward man, my physical body is perishing. It's dying. But at the same time, my outward man is dying. The inner man is being renewed day after day. That's the kingdom of God that's becoming greater. We are more than just a bunch of people getting older. We carry the kingdom of God within us, and it should be becoming greater with our age. Amen. We need to get the Pentecostals back in here. Those people who forgot what their labels were this past Thursday night, and everybody was Pentecostal before. I mean, it was great, like I grew up. I said, okay, never mind. I know we're saved by faith, but every now and then I feel something, and so I'm all right with it. Though our outward man is perishing, that part of us that's temporal anyway, the part of us that's physical and natural only, the part of us that will die and come to an end every day, it's perishing. But Paul said, I take joy that the kingdom of God in me, that inward man, the Spirit of God. And he's also the one who said, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with God. He said, that part of me is being renewed and refreshed day by day. He's also the one that had such a handle on this principle about as we get older, the kingdom of God becomes greater in us. Oh my, he's the one who also was caught up into the third heaven while he was still alive. 14 years passed after he had that experience. And he still couldn't describe it. The only thing he could say 14 years after he had that spiritual encounter is he said 14 years ago, it happened and I still don't have words to describe it. I'll just say it happened. That's all I can talk about. There's an experience like that that's potentially available for all of the followers of Jesus. Are we even aware that it's a possibility? And is the kingdom of God maturing and becoming greater in us so that we can qualify for those kinds of encounters with God? Now, the verb to grow is defined like this, to develop and mature, to change from childhood to adulthood. Now, what is the end result of our spiritual growth and development? You'll find it in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Just imagine that. We, the body of Christ, going to, before it's over, that small thing that began in us, the kingdom planted inside of us, as we grow up and spiritually develop, the day will come, we will stand up tall as one body, a perfect man. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, which is Christ. Now, that's our destiny. That's the road we're on. We are becoming greater, or we should be, in the kingdom of God. And then I'll close with the most exciting verse I've read lately. It's found in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. And before I read that, I'd like for the prayer team to come and make themselves available to minister to your needs in prayer in just a moment. Here's what that verse says, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. It says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be." Now, wait a minute. Listen to what it is not saying. It is not saying, we don't belong to God yet, but it's going to be revealed, and one day we will belong to God. No, it's not saying that. It says, now we already are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. I mean, we're already the righteousness of God. We're already the children of God. We're already sons and daughters of the Most High God. But the writer of this book says, you don't even have a clue yet all that you shall become. That's after you're in the kingdom. Sometimes coming into the kingdom is a small beginning. I've heard testimonies where people were simply born again, didn't even fully understand what happened. It's happened here at our church. I could call names, but I won't. Had an experience with God. It began with a small thing. You don't see much changing immediately. You go to bed and get up, and nothing, I don't see anything. You go to bed. But after a while, that seed that was insignificant and the smallest of all seeds on day one has blossomed and become fruitful and produced the harvest that that seed had in its potentiality. It's happened over and over again. Oh, we're already in the kingdom. The kingdom is already in us. We're already born again and sons and daughters of God. But the New Testament said, even with all that, it has not yet been revealed what we shall become. I'm excited about the future of the kingdom of God that's within us. Would you stand with me?